Thank you for joining with us on this first day of December. Today I invite you to get your Bible and turn with us to the book of Galatians. Today, if the Lord wills, we'll be reading the first three chapters of the book of Galatians. Let us remember, as always, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And before we read our scripture for today, we're going to talk just a moment about some things that we have been reading in these writings of the Apostle Paul. And as we're reading these writings of the Apostle Paul, we see that Paul can be very stern when it is needed. In fact, today we'll read how he withstood the Apostle Peter to the face, because the Apostle Peter was wrong. When the occasion demanded it, Paul could stand firm. But as we read his writings, we also see that he was very tender-hearted. He was full of compassion and full of tenderness and full of sympathy. He told these Corinthians in this second letter, he said, "I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand." And Paul was not like some of these gurus. Paul absolutely knew that there was only one mediator between God and man, and it was not him. He wasn't one of these who wanted to be a go-between between God and man. He didn't say, "You come to me and I'll go to God for you." No, no, no. He said, "You boldly go before the throne of God's grace and obtain grace and help in your time of need." And the Apostle Paul knew exactly what it was to be in need. Paul had faced rejection from the so-called people of God. Paul knew that the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was filled with hostile enemies of Christ. And he said, "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 was I stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings, in sleepless nights, often in hunger, often thirsty, in fastings, often cold, often naked." Besides those things that he mentioned here that come upon me daily, I want you to know, in spite of all of this, Apostle Paul said that I have a care, I have a concern for all of the churches. And the Apostle Paul had one purpose in life, and that was to preach the gospel. In this 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, he said his purpose was to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And the Apostle Paul, they said that his letters were weighty and powerful, but they said his bodily presence was weak and his speech was contemptible. He didn't use good Greek, but he said, "Let such a one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present." The Apostle Paul believed in being a doer of the word and not a hearer only. The Apostle Paul believed, like James, the brother of our Lord, that faith without works is dead. And yesterday in our reading, we read where the grace of God is sufficient. Paul had some type of a thorn in his flesh. And the Apostle Paul said this thorn was in his flesh, that he should not be exalted above measure. He said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. God knew just how much to give the Apostle Paul so that he could be stern when necessary, and he could be kind and gracious also when necessary. The Lord did not choose to heal him of his infirmity, but God said to the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul had asked the Lord three times that this thorn in the flesh would be removed. But Paul said, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." And it's important to make a little note right here. Satan is a servant of the Lord. He was created to be a servant of the Lord. And though pride and sin was found in Satan, Satan is still subservient to our Lord Jesus Christ. And Satan is under restraint. Job, the old patriarch, teaches us that. Satan can only do what God allows him to do. Satan is under restraint. Satan has to receive permission from God for everything that he does. And Paul said, "This messenger of Satan was given to buffet him, lest I should be exalted above measure." And we must know that God always knows what is best for us. And sometimes we feel that God should answer our request and should relieve us of this or that trouble that is come upon our lives. And he can, and he could, if he so willed. But he does not always choose to do so. And when he chooses not to do so, he does it for our sake. The Lord knows exactly what we need to make us a useful servant to him. And the Apostle Paul, in this afflicted state, was made better. He was made a better person than if that affliction had been removed from him. And God knows us individually. And he knows exactly what is necessary. He knows exactly how much suffering we must go through to be useful vessels in his hand. And why some are allowed to go with never any pain and just very few sorrows, and others suffer at the hand of God, we do not know. That is something that we cannot understand. But we leave that to God. His ways are high above our ways. His thoughts are high above our thoughts. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Jesus said, "I send you forth as lambs among wolves." And we are going to face injury. God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." But the Apostle Paul, his commitment to Christ held him. And our commitment to Christ must also hold us, even as the faith of Paul held him. That whatever happens to us, if we are never made well, we will glory in our infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. That's what Paul said. He said, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." And some of these things that we go through, some of these reproaches, some of these persecutions, the Apostle Paul said that they were necessary that the power of Christ may rest upon us. The psalmist said, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." And notice the psalmist in his praise of the Lord, and he did not say that he would praise him when he was delivered, and he didn't say when the Lord would deliver him, or how he would deliver him. Many things we will not be delivered of in this body in which we now live. But we know that we have the promise that we will one day have a glorified body, fashioned like unto his great and marvelous body. A body that will never again feel pain, never again feel sorrow, and never again be buffeted by Satan. But until then, let us say with the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We know, when the Son of Man shall come, before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I love that old song. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. And they tell me that he smiles on his children there. They tell me of an unclouded day. In this 15th verse of this 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians where we read yesterday, the Apostle Paul said, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Think about this for just a minute. He said, the more I love you, the less I am loved. The Apostle Paul suffered wrath from his own countrymen because of his love for the Gentiles, because of his love for all men for whom Christ has died. Paul was willing to spend his life. He was willing to spend his strength. He was willing to spend his time for the welfare of the sinners who must hear the word of God, that they might believe and be saved. And Paul was willing to pay any price which may be necessary to bring about salvation to the Gentiles. And not only was the Apostle Paul willing to pay any price that was necessary personally for him to bring salvation to the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul felt the same way about his own brethren. Paul said, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul said one time, he said, for I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. What great love did the Apostle Paul have for his own brethren in the flesh who were Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law. He said, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Paul said, let every man be a liar. God alone is truth. And he said, I have great heaviness and great sorrow in my heart. And Paul was willing that he himself would be separated from Christ if it would bring salvation to his Israelite kinsmen. And he had the same love for these Gentiles, these Gentile churches. He had a true pastor's heart. There was nothing that he was not willing to do for the welfare of the churches of God. And he said that he would find pleasure. He said, I will gladly spend and be spent for you. He did not regret the time and the energy that he spent in proclaiming the gospel until his strength was all gone and he was beheaded. Paul was not just saying words here. He was willing that his entire life be completely exhausted and his life completely consumed in the service of the proclamation of the gospel. And it cost him his life, but he was willing to give his life. He was willing to be completely exhausted in his work of preaching the gospel and bringing salvation to the souls of the heathens. He said, for your souls, the Apostle Paul, determined not to be a financial burden to the churches, but he earned his own keep. He was a tent maker. He wrote to this Corinthian church, he said, I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden to you. I'm not coming to seek what you have. I seek not yours, but I'm seeking you. just as a father does for his family. He says, for the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. I will gladly spend and be spent. And it is the desire of every true believer to go forward with diligence, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We must keep going. We must never give up. In 1 month, we're going to enter into a new year. Have we stood still or have we progressed? We've either gone forward or we have backslid. We've either grown in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ or we have regressed. The Apostle Paul didn't know anything about going backward. All he knew about was going forward. Moses, when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, Moses didn't know anything about going backward either. And when the situation looked hopeless, and here was Israel, the Egyptian army behind them and the Red Sea in front of them, it looked like a hopeless situation. And had not the Lord intervened, it would have been hopeless and they would have all perished. Pharaoh and his great army had pursued them and had overtook them. And then Moses said, do not be afraid. Stand still and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. And as far as for these Egyptians and as far as for these enemies that you see today, you'll never see them again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And these words, stand still and you will see the deliverance of the Lord. That does not mean to sit and rest and do nothing. This stand still means do not be dismayed. Do not panic. Stay calm. He is able to deliver us. Though by sin oppressed, come to Him for rest. For our God is able to deliver us. We always have such a tendency to doubt. Lord, we believe. Help thou our unbelief. We're always so ready to rebel against the Word of God and against the promises of God. The children of Israel lifted up their eyes and they saw the Egyptians. And the Bible tells us that they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they began to complain. And they told Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in this wilderness? And they complained and they said, it would have been better for us to stay in Egypt and serve the Egyptians and die there in Egypt than to die in this wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and you shall see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And when Moses said, stand still, he didn't mean for them to give up, because he gave the order that the Lord gave him. The Lord told him, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. They were given a challenge. Go forward meant walk into the Red Sea. And what the Lord commands us to do, He gives us the power to do it. Our carnal mind would tell us under a command like that, that He's commanding us to commit suicide. No, He's not commanding us to commit suicide. He's not commanding us to drown ourselves in a flooded river, but God requires us to lay hold of His promises and to act upon His promises. And by faith, they pass through the Red Sea as by dry land. We must not just be hearers of the Word of God, but we must be doers of the Word of God. We must not be lazy. The lazy man said, there's a lion outside and I'll be slain in the streets. But the child of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. King David said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Jonah, after the Lord had prepared that great fish to swallow him up, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Jonah said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. And Jonah praying in the belly of that fish, Jonah found the Lord there. And Jonah said, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that I have vowed. And Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto that fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon dry land. The Lord exhorts us to never give up. The Apostle Peter tells us in his second letter, he commands us to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And we are always in need of encouragement. We are always in need of exhortation because we are so prone to evil. We are so prone to relax. We are so prone to give up. But let us never be content with our present and past spiritual service. For as Joshua told the children of Israel, when Joshua was old and stricken in years, the Lord said unto him, "You're old and you're stricken in years, yet there is very much land to be possessed." And there was much work left for Joshua to do and instructions to be given to the children of Israel. He wasn't half through with his work at that time where the Bible says that Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord spoke to him. Half of his work was still yet to be done. The children of Israel had yet to claim their inheritance. And then we read in Joshua chapter 24, when Joshua's life work on this earth was ended, and the people departed every man unto his inheritance, then it came to pass, after these things, the scripture tells us that Joshua the son of Nun and his servant Eleazar, the servant of the Lord, died. And Joshua was 110 years old. And all the time that Joshua lived, the Bible tells us that the children of Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And we also, like the Apostle Paul said, we must not be weary in well-doing. Jesus said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." We must ever be going forward. And so we must forget those things which are behind us, and we must reach forth unto the things which are still yet before us. The Apostle Paul said, "I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And it's time now for us to have our word of prayer and begin reading the book of Galatians. Lord, as we worship you today, as we read your word today, may the God of love and peace be with each one of us. Thank you that you have redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. Thank you, Lord, that you have preserved your word. You have preserved your law to be our schoolmaster to bring us to yourself. Let us always know that it is you who have given yourself for our sins. It is you who will deliver us from this present evil world. We are justified by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and not by the works of the law. Lord, impress that upon us today. Lord, give us a fresh meaning of the word vicarious. It is by what you have done for us and not by what we have done. It's according to your great mercy, not by works of righteousness which we have done, that we are saved. Lord, impress that upon us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Galatians chapter 2. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation, and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run, or had run, in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we have gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which also I was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Galatians chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And that completes our scripture reading for today. Thank you for joining with us. If the Lord wills, we'll be back with you tomorrow. And remember, until then, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.